Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, welcome to it for your Friday afternoon. How are we doing, guys?
Pretty good, massive show. Bickers has got a mouthful already.
I thought I'd tuck into a bit of a Scotch finger to get us.
But I love it. You've decided to go with the Scotch finger minis.
I'm stealing my kids' snacks.
Yes.
They're pretty good, though.
Hey, I never thought we'd say this, but we've got JFK's daughters on the show.
Singular, not plural.
Yeah, I was trying to work out if it's JFK's
daughter. Yes, yeah, we do.
Instead of JFK daughters.
Mm, what an extraordinary life she has lived.
Remarkable.
You won't know what she's up to now.
Good to see Jessie's given us the pump-up music for us as well.
Until we bring her on later in the show to discuss all things. Well, I don't want to tell you what she's here to discuss because it's
things.
Not a tease.
No, no,
is
just
it?
Say all things. All things. All That's things. Great because, as well as that, I might have discovered the biggest musical sensation that I didn't know existed and is right under our very nose and has the backing of a huge music star who is producing his music now. That's going to be later on in the show. But up next, if you've had a bad day at work, I bet it hasn't cost you millions of dollars.
And before we do that, can we get a tune on?
Oh, yeah. Don't be mad, don't get me. I got 99 problems. Yeah. We're gonna
drop it like it's hot. Big Moss booty drop. Only a few days left till the roast of Tommy Little. CarrieandTommy.com.au if you want to get tickets. You're gonna have to get on quickly. I'm not even sure. Are there any left producers? A handful, they're saying. Yes. Just a handful of tickets left. Yeah. So get online now. They're selling like hotcakes.
They're given.
Of course, they're free. They're being given away like hotcakes.
They're given like hotcakes.
And in preparation for it and to get us fired up for the weekend of writing our roast spots for you, how about a little bit of hot in here, Nelly, yeah?
Great, love it.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because have you ever had a bad day at work?
Is that a joke? As Pippa sneezed
Producer
into
Pippa
the mic.
Is allergic to the question.
Yeah.
You tell me when I've had a bad day.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You just tell me by your face.
I've never told you you've had a bad day at work.
Or by your tone.
Do I?
Yeah.
Why are you in a mood?
So, have you ever had a bad day at work where you've caused a lot of damage?
Oh, I don't know if I've caused a lot of damage. Psychological maybe, but not physical.
Well,
what's happened?
A Sydney real estate agent has just tried to sell a home.
It's
in the Northern Beaches, so it's worth it's worth millions. Mm. Now, as people were about to come through to see the house, very important step when you are going to buy a house, seeing it first, the agent had noticed that the current renters had left some sheets out over to dry over the balcony.
Oh.
And she thought, I'm not going to be able to sell this joint for millions if there's sheets there, right?
I mean, I don't know if that's off-putting, is it?
No.
That someone's clean?
No.
Anyway.
At all. And so then she grabbed the sheets and she took them downstairs and she just threw them over a light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she turned that light on. God knows why. anyway.
To do spooky, like when you got the torch under the
sheets. Maybe she thought I'd dry them faster.
Yeah, I think maybe she thought they would help dry their sheets. Maybe. It doesn't go into too much detail because they've said in court, because now this is where
why
it's ended
is it in
up.
Court?
Because they've said that in court she was an aggressive and uncooperative witness. So there's not too much details about what happened next, but I can tell you and show you the photos of what then happened.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you be shocked? So you look at that joint. That's the house there that I've shown you.
Beautiful. What did it sell for?
So what they wanted was multi-millions is what they wanted. But then after the sheets went on the light thing, Jules didn't notice, that's the agent, Jules didn't notice that that actually set on fire.
Oh, no.
And that's the house now.
Oh, my God. Did it burn down?
It burned down.
The oh my God.
Whole house. And not even like you
so
can see.
Hold on,
not even like a bit, like the whole house is gone.
I mean, in Sydney, that would still go for a couple mil.
It's a fixer upper. Yeah. A renovator's dream. Yeah.
What happens there? Like, who's responsible then for the cost of the like home insurance, I guess? So, what's she up for starting it?
Well,
accidentally.
Here we go. The owner, Peter Allen Bush.
The house is in the bush.
Here you go. They wanted $3 million for the house. And all of the house, along with all of the contents, were destroyed. So they've gone to court and they want to get $740,000 for the loss of his house and then $124,000 for the renters because all of their stuff is gone
as
well. But
isn't that, don't you have, isn't that what insurance is for?
But I guess maybe if you throw a sheet over a light.
Insurance, I haven't read that ever in the fine print.
I haven't seen the sheet over light clause down the bottom there. Mm. And especially when it's someone who doesn't live there who's just come in to throw a sheet over a light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even, and it didn't fall. It was placed.
Oh, what a bad day.
Isn't that a bad day
That's
at work?
It's a very bad day.
When I used to work at this very radio station as a Black Thunder driver back in the day, I had a few bad days here.
I feel like I remember one of them. Did it involve a little crashy crash?
I've had a few crashy crashes.
Can you tell us about them next?
Yeah. Do you want one of them now?
Sure. Oh my God, there's multiple stories.
Yeah. One, I remember I was driving Hamish and Andy around for their party marathon when they were doing that all weekend.
Well, they picked the wrong man for that.
Yeah. And I was so tired and I dropped the boys off. It was all over. It had been a success. And my mate said to me, the old building we used to work at had a really narrow driveway to get to the underground car park. Mm. And he goes, oh, it'd be the worst thing ever if you dinged this car getting in. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to ding the car. Scrape all along the side of the brick. And then I thought reversing might unscrape it. Scrape.
Was that the worst or that was just the beginning?
No, that one wasn't the worst day at work. I'll tell you about another one. And also, one of our beautiful producers that works with us also has a ripper. We'll tell you about him next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Friday arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And if you are just joining us, we're talking worst days at work.
Yes, because there was a real estate agent in Sydney trying to sell a house for, they were hoping for $3 million. And when people were coming through for the inspection, she noticed the renters had left a sheet over the balcony. She didn't like that. So she threw that downstairs quickly over a light, which she then happened to turn on. And that heated the sheet and dried it. And then set it on fire and set the whole house on fire. And now it is an absolute rubble. Producer Lizzie.
Yeah.
Have you had a bad day at work?
Terrible day.
What did you do?
Years ago, I was producing the night show on this station, the Hot 30 Countdown.
The Hot 30.
And we had Matt Preston in.
Oh,
we
thought, good old Maddie.
Yeah. He was so lovely. And we thought, we'll do like a pie test.
Oh,
get him to test.
It's so funny.
Oh, like, which is the best pie?
Because when we had Matt Preston in, we did Whose Pesto is the Besto with Matt Presto. Did you have a catchy name for your pie test?
I can't remember because it was a traumatic situation.
So what happened?
So 7 p.m. the show started. That hour we had the pie warmer on.
Yeah, of course.
And then later on that early morning, 2 a.m, I'm still at work because we're writing promos. Got to get some ratings.
I still work till 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was like that back in the day. Yeah.
You'd never stay around for our show that long.
And then all of a sudden, the fireys storm in, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And they barge into the mailroom area.
Did they just hear the promos needed some work? Yeah. All hands
they
on.
They weren't hot
it's
enough.
It's an emergency.
Yeah, they barged into the mailroom where the pie warmer was. It had burnt a hole on the ledge near the section.
So if you...
So hold on. Okay. So you'd had the pie warmer on from 7 p.m. and forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
But how did they know to come? Was there a fire?
Yeah,
was there an alarm going off? But how come you couldn't hear it?
Because we had the music pumping.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really nice?
Carrie, it's the Hot 30.
It's the Hot 30 countdown.
Thank you very much.
Extra hot.
But the bad thing was, so everyone hated me after that because they banned GHDs. So all the sales chicks were like.
Okay, are they hair things?
Yeah, anything electrical that wasn't an office, like.
Oh my God, if they banned cologne as well, the whole sales department would be out of. They wouldn't have, there'd be nothing left.
At least you didn't crash a car, though, like you did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't crash just one.
So tell us about the other bad days.
So one stage we had a truck that we had to drive around. We had some inflatable thing that we had to load into this truck. And nobody could drive a truck. And I also couldn't drive a truck. But no one else was going to do it. And so I put my hand up.
Oh, you took one for the team. Good on you.
I did. Mm-hmm. And I was with my mate Bo at the time. I remember distinctly because he goes, I'm not driving that truck. And so I went, oh, I guess I'm driving the truck. I drove the truck so well. I got through the day and it was perfect. And all I had to do was pull up at the front of the station. And so I pulled up at the front of the station and I heard a really loud clang. And I didn't realize that at the back of the truck, there was about a meter long, like guard thing out the back that you use to step things up to load onto the truck. And I didn't quite judge that in my parking.
What did you smash into?
I ripped the whole front end off. It's funny you mentioned sales, the whole front end off an Audi.
Oh my God.
And I knew, I was like, the only people with Audis are sales.
Oh,
like that's
no.
going to be. And they haven't got their GHDs anymore. They're going to be furious.
So then what happened?
I went in and apologized. I walked around the office and I said, does anyone have an Audi that's missing a front end? And no one owned up. And I said, sorry, does anyone have an Audi that's parked out the front that's now missing a front end?
Oh,
and it was
they
actually
would have appreciated that as a joke.
He was he was a lovely guy.
Oh.
And the company did look after it. And I made up for it completely. I bought him, in hindsight, it should have been more, but I was broke. I bought him a six-pack. And if I know Audi drivers, I know what they like, and that is a six-pack of VB.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy, for your Friday afternoon, coming up very soon, we've got to talk roast, because for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, we are roasting Tommy Little.
Yes, huge guests still to come. We have JFK's daughter joining us a bit later in the show. But up next.
Just want one thing on the roast. I've been texting one of the roasters, whose name I'm going to keep secret. But he's keen to know, he's trying some gear with me, because he's keen to know how far he can go. And I've said there is no limit.
For me?
For you.
Oh, no. Nah. Go ahead.
So watch out, because I've read some of the things he's going to say, and I love them so much.
Great.
CarrieandTommy.com.au if you want to come along and have a look.
Yes.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, Bickers, have you ever seen a dick?
Is that a trick question?
What do you mean?
Is it a double one?
Sorry? Have you ever seen a dick?
No.
No? Because haven't you been, you've been on safaris and things like that.
What's a, you just want me to say it now. What is it?
What?
Don't make me say it.
What do you mean?
A dick.
Carrie,
I think it's dick. It's an animal.
Dick-dick.
Yeah.
What's a dick?
Look at that cute little thing there.
Is that a dick?
Yeah, that's a dick. It lives in the bushlands of eastern southern Africa, and they can live up to 10 years. They kind of look like a mini deer, don't they?
They are like a mini deer.
They're beautiful little dick. And I wanted to know, so I thought you would have seen one. You're a woman of the world, and I thought if anyone's seen a dick, it's probably Carrie. And so if you haven't seen it, I'm assuming you also haven't heard a dick.
Definitely.
Do they roam around in groups? Are they herd animals?
They're not herd animals.
Oh, it's not a gaggle of them or something?
No, there's not a gaggle of them. You can usually hear them coming, though.
Okay.
They've got little hoofy things, so you can hear the click of the dick.
Yeah.
So here's a fun game I thought I would play with you, is you need to try and make the noise of a dick. And then I will play you the actual noise and we'll see how close you got. You've seen what a dick looks like. It's like a mini deer. And I've told you where it roams, eastern and southern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know where the name comes from?
Mm-hmm.
It's onomatopoeia.
Sure. What? Isn't that where it comes from?
That's what the name is. That's how they came up with the name.
Oh, right. I was going to say.
Which should give you a very big hint for what the sound of the animal is.
Oh. Onomatopoeia is when it sounds like the noise that it makes, isn't it?
Correct. So what noise does a dick make?
I don't know.
Have a go.
Like.
Be a dick dick.
I feel pressure to be a dick dick.
Yeah, that's because that's a game.
I can't perform. I don't know.
That just make any noise.
But the onomatopoeia has thrown me. So what would be an onomatopoeia noise?
Like splash is onomatopoeia.
Okay.
But in this case, the animal's name is dick dick.
So does it just go dick 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 dick?
You've really said it too many times, but let's see if she's correct.
What's that? Why is that onomatopoeia?
I don't know. It's I don't know.
Did you just say it was onomatopoeia to make me say that word over and over again?
Onomatopoeia of the repetitive sound females whistles through their long tubular snouts when they feel threatened. So it must go dick, 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 dick. Oh. Have a listen again.
Is it the sharp noise or
it's
the background noise?
That's all of it.
That's the one noise from them.
That's a dick dick.
That's a whole orchestra. Yes.
Hey, have you ever seen a fluffy backed tit babwa?
This is ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Show me it's a fluffy backed tit babbler. That's just an older woman, isn't it?
Kerry, this is a nature segment. We're trying to mold the minds and illuminate the possibilities of what's out there in the world.
Can I see? I would like to lay my eyes on her.
On the fluffy-backed tip babbler. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, no, that's the dick-dick girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a little birdie with a blue nose and a little red head.
They're found in Brunei, Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand. They say they're handsome and attractive as well. That's the fluffy-backed tip babbler. Do you want to have a go at the noise? Let's see how close she was.
It's just a bird.
No, it's a fluffy back tip babbler.
No, but it sounds like a bird. It could be any bird.
No, sorry. That is a fluffy backed tip babbler. They're found in Brunei, Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand.
Thank you.
What about this? This is a bit of fun. What about a Wunderpus photogenicus? Carrie, have you seen a
Wunderpus? Is it a big cat?
No. Why would you say that?
Because you said puss.
I said, and it could be actually be Wunderpus, but it's either Wunderpus photogenicus or Wunderpus photogenicus.
Let me see what a Wunderpus looks like.
There you go. Don't look down at yourself. It's not a funny joke. It's very immature. This is the nature segment, and tomorrow they won't let this school group back in to observe the show.
Show me.
There you go.
Is it a starfish? What is it? It's under the. Isn't it under the ocean?
Sometimes. Okay.
Depends how tired. Is it under the ocean?
Is it under the ocean?
Am I looking at that thing under the ocean? In the ocean, under the sea. Is that what
I think it's under the sea.
But is it like underwater?
Is it a fish?
Yes. Okay.
No, it's an octopus.
Is it an octo-wunderpus?
Yes, it is. It's a wunderpus octopus. And isn't it wonderful? It's got distinct white and rusty brown colorations. Would you like to make the noise, please?
Oh, that doesn't make a noise, though.
It's some.
It doesn't. There's no noise. Okay, it goes like.
One more time for me. That was pretty good. Okay, let's have a look if that's correct.
Not bad. That's just the sound of bubbles underwater.
Yeah, that is just under the sea.
Carrie and Tommy. Your Friday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for friends to become enemies. Welcome to the roast of Tommy Little.
Oh, wow, wow! I said, oh, Tommy. Tommy's friends are here.
His friends.
People, he loves them all.
They are all lining up, and they're gonna roast them.
Tommy's roast is here,
so
and Gary is a host. Hey.
Tommy will definitely not have friends after the roast.
Wow.
He will cry no doubt.
Laugh Out Loud from March 27 to April 21 at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with hundreds of local and international acts. Browse the program and book now at comedyfestival.com.au.
Oh, the roasters so far, the list is amazing.
Yes. Just,
do you want me to start from top to bottom? Quickly
go,
list
go,
them.
Go, go,
we've got
go,
Tom
go.
Ballard, we've got Luke McGregor, your old housemate.
Yes.
Oh, Aussie wicket keeper, Adam Gilchrist.
Yes.
I was going to call him fast bowler. Did he ever bowl?
No. It's hard with the gloves on.
Yeah, true. Even I know that. And I don't know a lot about cricket. Nick Cody, Carl Chandler, Dave Thornton, Gina Liano, Lizzie
yes.
Hu, Mel Buttle, Dilruk, and Sonia Diorio. It is amazing lineup.
And it is only a few days away because, tickets, you can't buy them. The only way you can get them, carryandtommy.com.au. There's only a few left to get your grubby mitts on. If you've never heard a roast before, it's just people that like each other a lot being incredibly mean to each other. They happen in the States a lot. I've got a little montage here.
Great.
It starts with one about Kevin Hart and then it moves on to other various celebrities. Have a listen.
Kevin, you are everywhere. You know, Kevin's actually going to be on the next season of Game of Thrones. He's playing Peter Dinklage's shadow.
Tell us, Charlie, how do you go from being TV's highest paid actor ever to being the highest actor ever to be on TV?
Please welcome the second worst tragedy ever to hit New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald J. Trump.
Jack's is so big, he has to use Dropbox to send a pic.
Who on this list can we make that joke about, do we think?
The so big one, probably Gina.
That would
it's
be
a
you,
roast, Carrie. That's what.
That would be
it's
you
the type
as
of jokes.
Gina in drag.
Oh no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Hey,
someone who has already won tickets.
Yeah, and go to carryandtommy.com.au if you want to get tickets because they are almost sold out. Sam, you're coming along. You won't get to roast on the night because we are roasting already. Have you got something to roast Tommy about now?
Yes, I do.
What do you?
I can't wait to see Tommy spit roasted. I mean, roasted on Tuesday night. So
very good, Sam. You've taken my first joke off me, so thank you.
Sorry, Carrie.
No, good. I'll cross it out and work on some new stuff, Sam.
Hey, Sam, we can't wait to see you there. It's going to be a great night. We'll see you Tuesday.
I can't wait either. Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Friday afternoon. Same, same, but backwards is coming up next.
Guys, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is about to kick off. My show, Tommy Little, has a regular size deck, is on sale now. I would love to see you there. That also means our comedy roast is about to kick off because, and those tickets are free, but there aren't many left. carryandtommy.com.au if you
we
want.
We just gave you the lineup.
Some
four.
Of those, yes.
So good.
And do you know what I've realised?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this, but accidentally, I forgot that.
Mm.
Do you know two of the comedians that we have on the roast have a bit of beef and haven't spoken in 5 years?
No, which and two?
Yes, I won't tell
I've
you
I've been
now.
Putting this list together. That's information you should have told me at the beginning.
I know, I should have. Or at any other
point.
Do we
have to keep
point?
Them in different parts of the, like, I was going to say stadium.
Reckon,
we wish it was in a stadium.
Reckon,
in a theatre?
I reckon it's bad for them, but funny for us. Very
amazing.
Funny. Very funny.
Can you write down who it is so at least I know?
Okay. It's that one.
Yeah.
And that one. Yes, I know.
Fun.
Fun stuff.
Fun.
Hey, speaking of fun, I know this will sound like I'm bigging this up too much, but I reckon I heard the best comedy song that I've ever heard at a gala the other night by a local Australian comedian. I'm going to bring you not only him, but also that song later on this half hour.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Same, but backwards.
Good news for Tommy.
Oh, we're playing backwards. Backwards?
No.
Why?
We're not going to do that this week. It takes quite a long time to backwards them.
Okay.
It is 3-2 to Carrie, which means if it's a tie today, you get the points.
Yes. And can we refer to the points as the chockies?
The chockies.
Are you okay with that, Miss Bickmore?
Sure.
Okay.
What's
are you in game mode? What's happening?
I just want to start playing. Look,
what chockey would you like?
Is that because you want to win the chockies?
Yeah, I do want to win the chockies.
What chockey would you like the most?
Turkish Delight.
And Tommy?
Why? Just pick a chocolate.
No, because I want Turkish Delight. And I didn't actually care whether I won the chockies or not.
Well, but if you win, you can have Turkish Delight.
But don't you want to steal the Turkish Delight from her?
Yes. Yeah. So, I know, but I think she's gonna win.
Oh, can we just start?
And I thought I wouldn't care if it was a chockey I didn't really like.
Oh,
but I really like Turkish
crunchy.
Delight.
Crunchy. Crunchy's great.
Nah, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Song number one.
Oh. Tommy, it's Throw Your Loving Arms Around Me.
Can I have it again?
Are you sure it's not?
I don't have
Carrie's
any
now
idea.
Doing the thing where right. she looks at every team
I'll give
member
you a hint.
Hoping.
I'll give you a hint. Anita Jobby.
Yeah, I need one too.
Is their other writing name.
Anita Jobby?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
Anita Jobby?
Yeah. It's Ed Sheeran.
No.
It's not. No, no, sorry. It's not Ed Sheeran. Remember, it's,
Lewis Capaldi.
Yes, it is. Because remember he had a few other writing names.
And what's the song,
and
Lewis
the
Capaldi?
The song is, it is, just whisper it to me in the microphone.
Someone You Love.
Tommy, it's Someone You Love. Starting to feel a bit.
Anita like, Jobby.
He's off to a flyer.
Starting to feel a bit like turkey time in
here.
Chicken time too.
Don't they? Yeah, I think they gobble.
They
Anita gobble.
Song number two.
Carrie. Is it over three? Now, Taylor Swift?
I think I'm getting worse at this game. I thought that was Amy Shark.
No.
One all, song number three.
Harry.
Three. Two.
Nelly.
One.
It's got up.
Yeah. Is it Nelly?
It is not Nelly.
It's Usher.
We can hear you, Eli. Caught up.
Yeah.
No, he was saying,
caught up.
Hush, he's thinking.
What are we at now? 2-1?
2-1 to Tommy. Ooh. Song number four.
Oh, could be turkey time.
Carrie. It is Naughty.
Two.
And it is.
One.
Dirty. Christina Aguilera.
Oh, you buzzed out. Tommy, it's Christina Aguilera, Dirty. Someone's got chockies.
Yeah.
Turkey time. Oh, come on. Give us the noise at least for turkey time.
What is the noise?
You had it.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
That's eating all the chocolates.
Can you do it?
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Is that what a turkey
gobble,
sounds
gobble,
like?
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Yep. Do you want to know what a turkey eating Turkish delight sounds
sure.
like? Gobble, gobble, yum, 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 yum. Gobble, 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 yummy, yum, yum, gobble.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because on Wednesday, I performed at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And a comedian who I've known for years, not super well, to be honest, but I've seen him do comedy and stuff. He blew my tiny mind, and I need to get him on the show so we can all talk about it. His name is Cameron James, and he joins us now. G'day, Cam.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for the compliment, Tommy. Oh, my God. I'm going to dine out on this forever.
Bo, did I give you too much? So I complimented Cam a lot on the night.
Cameron James, not to be confused with the Titanic dude, James Cameron.
No.
Very different.
No, different
sadly,
ordering.
I'm the opposite of him, actually. I've lost a lot of money as opposed to making it.
Any interest in submarines?
Only ones with rich millionaires in them.
Have you watched Titanic?
Oh, yeah. Too many times.
So, Carrie, what happened is I've seen Cam do stand-up before, And he's a great stand-up. But then when I rocked up to tech rehearsals, he was doing his tech rehearsal, and he had a guitar on, and he was singing. And he was singing so good.
Oh.
Like, so good. And I actually said to him, Cam, you can sing. Like, he didn't know. And he went, yeah. And then I turned around to everyone around me. I said, Cam can sing. And they said, yeah, yeah, he's been doing it for a little while, but I'd never seen him sing. Cam, do you think I'm the last person in the comedy world that knew that you'd gone into a singing, more singing angle?
Well, it's been my dirty little secret for a long time that I actually was in bands and I was a muso way before I did comedy. Yes. And I kept it secret. I didn't want anyone to know because it was embarrassing. There's, if people Google me enough, there's band photos of me with a big emo haircut.
Amazing.
Singing in various emo bands from Newcastle in the 2010 era. So I kept it private.
Hey, did you work, is this true? Did you work as a singing Captain Jack Sparrow impersonator? Is that true?
Yeah, that was another one of my dirty secrets that I'm now finally embracing. I was a Captain Jack Sparrow impersonator at a dinner theatre restaurant in Newcastle in 2009.
But he was, like, he's so good. And it almost made me angry, Cam, because you hid from me is how I've taken it. No, obviously I can't sing. But also it's such a talent that I'm like, if I had a talent like that, everybody would know. And he's been actively
very smart, keeping a secret from me. And then he's brought it out just in time to blow everybody's socks off.
Absolutely. And I haven't played Carrie your song yet, Cam. So it's going to, I want her to experience it live like I did at the time. But is it also true that you've got a big name who has come on board to produce and release the song that we are about to play a bit of to Carrie?
That is true. So a few years ago, I played this song at a gig in Sydney, and Ben Lee, the singer-songwriter, was in the audience. And he took me under his wing. I think he saw a little something of me in him. And maybe when you hear the song, Carrie, that might be a little bit more revealing. Ben Lee's behind me, and he's been helping me put the song out and encouraging me to embrace my music side a little bit more, which is pretty fun.
Amazing. Like, so what style? Is it back to the emo roots? Is it pop? Is it what? How would you describe your style, Cameron? Because I haven't heard it yet.
Or how would you describe it, Tommy?
And this is why it pisses me off again, because I always want to see good people succeed, but not when they're so stratospheric that it's annoying. And I was on after Cam. My spot was immediately after him.
And I was
walking onto stage in front of 2,500 people, and I was humming his song that he just
gets in your head.
I even said to him afterwards, I said, I think it's the best comedy song performance I've seen at a gala, and that's
so it's
over
a funny
the last.
Song. It's funny, not even just he wasn't just funny, the musical act in the middle of the
funny
show.
It's charming. Oh, it's talented.
Can you just play me the song?
It really pisses me off. And here it is.
I've been dreaming of you, baby, thinking about taking you home, getting your body in my bed, then getting you out of those clothes. But before we make love, there's something that you need to know. Some guys will grow, some guys will show, but me, I'm neither of those. I got a medium dick, medium dick. It ain't too long and it ain't too thick. It's perfectly average size. If anything, it's pretty big for a white guy. Medium dick, medium dick. You won't have to lie that it won't fit, cause we both know that it'll fit. My perfectly average fun size medium dick.
Well done.
It's just
so good.
It's so good, brother. And I'm just, I'm excited for what's to come. I'm jealous. And I just wanted to tell you in front of all of Australia that I'm embarrassed it's taken me so long.
Oh, thanks so much. And you know what? My bit of advice for you would be pick up an instrument. It's never too late. I'd love to see you do a show with the bongos. Or maybe the harmonica. Maybe you could do a harmonica show. That could be nice.
Well, you get ready for next year's gala when I'm I'm just premiering my song Slightly Below Average Dick. Cam's show mixtape is on at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and the single Medium Dick will be available on Spotify from next Wednesday.
So cool.
Cameron James, you're excellent. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
Imagine being the daughter of a US president, and not just any US president, JFK. She was 6 when he was assassinated. Her life has been extraordinary. We chat to her next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, we had a very special guest through our Brain Cancer Centre a couple of weeks ago, none other than the US Australian Ambassador, Caroline Kennedy. You may know the name, the daughter of JFK. She's lived an extraordinary life. She was just 6 when her dad, JFK, was assassinated. Her brother, John F. Kennedy Jr., died in a plane crash in 1999. She's lost other siblings as well. She's the only surviving family member of JFK and First Lady Jackie Onassis. What they are doing, the US government and the Australian government in cancer research at the moment, is extraordinary. And to talk more about it, we welcome Caroline to the studio. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So first things first, how long have you been living in Australia?
I've been in Australia for just over a year and a half.
Yep.
And I mean, it's just so amazing. It's going by so fast. Everybody's been so welcoming. I've learned so much. There's so many strong relationships and partnerships, and it's just expanding across all dimensions.
One of the things that piqued my interest was 2022 is the 60th anniversary of President Kennedy's moonshot speech. Now, 60 years on, Biden has relaunched the moonshot as the cancer moonshot, an ambitious effort to end cancer as we know it. For people that don't know the original moonshot speech that your dad did, can you tell us a little bit about what that was about?
Well, it's interesting because my father made a lot of great speeches. You know, his inaugural address encouraged people to give back to their country, which was maybe his most well-known. But over time, I think the moonshot speech has become the one that means the most to each new generation, because it set such an ambitious goal that no one knew whether or not it was possible, but he decided to go ahead and announce that the United States would put a man on the moon within 10 years. And we didn't know what the surface of the moon was made of. We didn't have all the equipment, the rockets, all the computers to make that happen. But once he set the goal, everybody came together and to innovate, and it just exploded. You know, the U.S. economy, technology, out of it came, you know, heart monitors, water pumps, dialysis machines, just so many discoveries that have benefited people in their lives. So I think that President Biden wants to apply that same kind of spirit of tackling the hardest challenge we possibly can and bringing our best to bear on that. And so that's what we're doing with cancer. And so we can't do it alone. That's what we've learned about all the challenges that we face today. So the U.S. and Australia are the closest of partners working to eradicate this disease. In Australia, one of the things is just the Australian willingness to take on hard challenges and to innovate and be creative and work together. And I think that's what we've seen here in cervical cancer, and now with all the research that's being done in brain cancer and melanoma, just people looking at the same problem new ways and working together to solve it.
Obviously, you have lived an extraordinary life. I'm sure it's such a great honour to be able to do the work you do now and to carry on your family's legacy. When you reflect on your life, like, what do you think about? Like, what are the moments that stand out for you, and what is the way you reflect on your life? I read how much loss you'd suffered. I had no idea how many people in your family you'd lost. And I saw that and I thought, gosh, you don't often think, we think about the political side of things, but we don't often think about what it's like for surviving family members. How do you reflect on your life that you've lived?
Well, I feel really, really fortunate. I have such a wonderful family, and I am so lucky to have, you know, had them, and I miss them, but I feel like I have such a special privilege every single day, and things can change instantly. And so I'm just lucky to be able to do the work that I'm doing. And so to know that, you know, everybody has challenges. Mm. Everybody has lost people. Everybody. It's what, you know, how do you go forward? How do you keep going? And, you know, listen to Drive Time Radio, or you work in cancer care or prevention. I know that you've done so much important work as well in this area. So I think you just find people who want to, you know, help make things better.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. We can't wait to see what happens from here, and we hope that you get to still be here in the country as more advancements are made.
I know.
How long is your stint going to be?
Well, I'm here till probably next January.
Okay.
And then when President Biden is reelected, somebody else will come.
Well said.
I know we have to wrap up. Can I ask you a 2-second question about Canberra? Because I thought it was weird when I first went there. Have you seen all the rabbits?
I have seen all the rabbits.
And did you not think it's weird?
It's weird.
It's so weird.
It's weird. But I love Canberra. I just want to say that right now.
Because yes.
There's a lot of people who maybe don't love Canberra. But
no, we love Canberra.
Do you know, of all the things also, I have to comment that I read about you, of your extraordinary life. I had no idea you were maid of honour at Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger's wedding.
How do you like that?
I know. How does that work out?
Yeah, well, invite me back. I'll tell you all about it.
To support the cause and learn more about the US-Australia Cancer Collaboration, check out USMC. Embassy Australia on Instagram. Carolyn Kennedy, thank you so much.
Yes, if you want to support us, you can donate to our shit.
Told us we need to wrap, but can we ask you one question about that?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all right? So do you want to ask?
Because
you were fascinated by this.
Yes, my friends have done, you are participating in the Shitbox Rally. My friends have done it before. It's such a wonderful event. Is it the first time you've ever heard the term shitbox?
I've never, ever heard a bad word, ever. But I'm learning here in Australia.
Do you know, because it's a rally for people who don't know, you have to drive old cars, cheap cars. Do you know what you're going to be driving in?
I do. I'm going to drive a Ford, 1993 Ford Falcon. So,
amazing.
You know, better make it across.
Yes.
American car. But it's, you know, it raises huge amounts of money. The biggest local cancer fundraiser here in Australia, so it's great to participate. The embassy community is excited to do it. People are supporting us. The money all goes to the Cancer Council, and I've met a lot of the researchers who've been given grants who are doing just incredible research.
Are you driving?
I am driving.
You're actually driving.
I am driving.
Are you a good driver?
I don't know yet. I haven't driven in Australia yet.
Also,
there's nothing out there.
I was going to say,
and it's already a shitbox. If one more thing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, enjoy it.
Okay.
Hope you can make it. Carrie
and Tommy. Driving you home from 3 till 6, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because fascinating chat with Carolyn Kennedy just then. And then off air, I was telling you, and I can't believe now I don't remember his name. I was chatting to an astronaut, Chris something. He's a wonderful man. And he told me that the flow-on effects, he said people so often when they talk about space and the cost of sending things into space, they humans go, why are we wasting all this money? We have all these problems on Earth and we're sending people to space. And he said,
Chris Hadfield?
Chris Hadfield is exactly right. And he said that people don't realize the huge halo effect that space travel has. And he said, you know, after the first time that they sent people to the moon, the university enrollments that went up in STEM areas were so huge that those people then go on to find cures for things, to invent things, to discover things. And although people don't directly link it to the space program, without the space program, there's so many things that wouldn't have been possible.
So I did a bit of Googling during that little ad break we had then about everyday items that NASA had invented while trying to work on getting us, you know, up to space in better ways. The camera phone.
Really?
So something that we all sit there and spend half our life on. Apparently, they were trying to find in the 90s a camera small enough to fit on a spacecraft without sacrificing the quality of the vision they were seeing. And that's when they developed the little camera phone that's now used in a third of all of our cameras.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm. And we've got them to blame for those bloody Apple AirPods because they also developed wireless headphones. Because they needed the astronauts to communicate hands-free and without wires.
Oh. Here I was thinking it was because they'd get tangled in zero gravity.
I mean, that's
you know
funny how
of course, tangled annoying they get anyway they get. When they're in your pocket. Imagine if you don't even have gravity.
Imagine if you lost an AirPod in space.
No, because it stays there. Do you know what I mean?
But if you move it a little bit, it moves
keeps
forever.
Going. You just have to remember which way you sent it.
Find my AirPods.
They were working on diamond hard coatings for their aerospace systems, and they inadvertently came up with the lens scratch resistant stuff that you get on glasses.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
And the UV blocking thing we have on sunglasses, they were trying to work out how to block out the harmful wavelengths of solar radiation for the astronauts. And they're like, oh, we could get UV blocking sunglasses happening as a thing.
Wow.
Oh, Nike Air sneakers.
What were invented in space?
So the technology used in Nike Air sneakers was originally developed for spacesuits. The guy said they were painted, former NASA engineer M. Frank Ruddy patented his blow rubber molding technology, which Nike now use to allow runners to run on air, as they describe it.
Wow. Hmm. Ruddy L, eh?
Oh, and you know where they could have run? On the treadmill, which was invented for astronauts in space.
Yes, because one of the main things when you're in space is your muscles depleting.
Yes,
because there
muscle
is no gravity.
Atrophy.
Atrophy.
And a decrease in bone density.
Yes.
So they need them to be able to exercise on treadmills regularly.
Did you know there has been some very expensive fixes too in space that have been very unnecessary? I'm sure a lot of people will have heard this before. Have you heard about when they were first trying to send people to space? And obviously the race was between the Americans and the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Americans apparently spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, which back then is millions of dollars, because they found their pens weren't working when they were upside down.
And no gravity,
Yes. Oh. And so they spent all this money developing pens that would work upside down. And the Russians used pencils.
Do you know the follow-up to that?
No way.
No, I don't.
So the reasons the Americans actually knew that they needed to develop a pen and the Russians went with a pencil, but once you go up into space and all of the little bits of graphite in the pencil would break off and started to float into other parts of the spaceship and destroy their equipment. So they actually did need the thousands of dollars worth of pen.
Crazy.
It's so
last
good.
One.
I thought
last
they were
one.
Dumb and then they're really smart.
Do you want the last quick one before
can
we go?
Can I give you one about Chevy after that?
Yeah, give us Chevy first.
Okay. So NASA was accidentally responsible for the popularity of one of America's greatest ever cars, the Chevy Corvette.
Yes.
Because Chevy wanted to make their car really popular. And so they gave them for free to astronauts because they were the coolest people in the country in the 60s. And NASA said, no, you can't, we can't have government workers taking free stuff from these big companies. And so Chevy came up with the cunning plan that if you're an astronaut, you could lease a Chevy Corvette for $1 a year for as long as you liked.
Oh my gosh.
And then they started driving them everywhere.
All of the astronauts everywhere that ever went to space had these Chevy Corvettes.
I mean, until they had to fill them up and then, you know.
It's really set
it
back.
Very expensive.
The last one is baby formula. Apparently this microalgae that they developed in China, I don't know, it was nothing to do with food, that they were using it for long distance space travel. They wanted the use of algae as a recycling agent or something. Anyway, they then discovered its longevity and now it's found in 90% of infant baby formulas. So if you want to send your kid into space, they'll be well fed while they're up there.
Yes. In here we were, and you guys are saying this, not me, but that NASA are a bunch of idiots. Turns out, they've done a lot of good stuff.
Gary and Tommy.
Ooh.
It's Friday knockoff time.
Yes, which means I'm on the tools. So, I mean, when you think of your biggest credits, your biggest movies you've been in, things like that, give us
mine.
Some.
Yeah.
I remember you almost got that role in that movie.
The Knowing. I was almost in The Knowing.
Almost. Yep.
Almost. I've had a couple of scripts pop past my desk, but none that have grabbed me.
So you haven't been?
No.
It's interesting.
Why?
Ask me.
What's your biggest film credit?
Oh, well, as you know, I've done a few dramatic series. I've been in one that I can't remember its name with Claudia Carvin.
Secret Life of Us.
No, that wasn't it.
She was in that, wasn't she?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not up to date with her credits because I've got too many of my own. I was also in, what was that called?
You were just thinking about the thing you were talking about before.
No. I was in some kids' soccer show. Muskrats.
Oh, because you were in Bluey.
You were in Bluey.
That's your biggest
one, that went
surely.
Global.
Yeah.
Did your muskrats go global?
Well, you're about to eat your words.
Oh.
Because one of the biggest, I've also been in the first second of Drive to Survive.
Uh-huh.
I'm interviewing Daniel Ricciardo in that.
Yeah.
Very identifiable back of head. Thank you very much.
Oh,
people would know that if
I've been on Oprah as
in
well.
In the Garden of Eden. You've been in Oprah. That's Carrie.
No wonder she sent flowers.
Secret. No, I've been on Oprah. That's pretty big.
Oh, you've been on her. It's good. One of the biggest stars on the planet right now, homegrown, the kid Leroy.
Oh, what's he up to? What are you doing with the kid?
So I just tried to sit down and watch his documentary. It's now out on Prime. It's called The Kids Are Growing Up. Oh. It is one of the highest trending movies.
Doco
on the planet at the moment.
Yeah. Are you in it? Are you interviewing him?
Guess what?
Play me a bit.
Your boy here.
Play me a bit.
Gets a little bit of a mention.
His melodies are mental, lyrics are crazy. You're sitting at home and you're like, oh, I haven't heard of him. You've ticked over into the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, Miley Cyrus and the Kid Laroi.
Was that you at the beginning?
That was me in the middle. No, in the middle.
Turn the music down? It's a bit hard to hear.
Nah, because that's the mix on it. Oh. So.
They want to drown you out.
But you see me on screen. You see me.
If we put subtitles on, we'll definitely be able to understand.
No, no, also just if you use your eyes.
Has your agent been getting calls since?
Yeah.
But not for you.
Yeah, she's got a lot of clients.
Should we get a bit of Kid Laroi on now?
It's all thanks to Ingham's Chicken. Who doesn't love tasty, crunchy, delicious chicken for dinner? Grab some Ingham's Chicken on the way home. Always tasty, always good.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Friday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
My ideas are golden. They're diamonds in the rough. If they give me a chance, they'll see I am.
Pitch don't kill my vibe.
Producer.
Pitch don't kill my vibe.
Producer.
Pitch don't kill my vibe.
Producer.
Pitch don't kill my vibe.
And a lot of shows, they say, save the best till last. We don't do that because about this time on a Friday, we kind of are pretty broken by the week. And the producers bring us the scraps that didn't make it to air. This week we have producer Sammy. Hello, Sammy.
G'day, guys.
What bit of gold did we miss?
I was pretty broken when I brought this up. I actually brought it up last week in a group setting. You were there, everyone was in the room, and usually my ideas fall on deaf ears, but this one I thought might, seep through the cracks. It did not.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a question. What was the first ever reggae song you think you've ever heard?
I think it was... what's the Bob Marley song?
Well, I was going to say a Bob Marley song. I was going to say Burning and Looting, I would have thought.
Oh, I reckon it was, what's one of his other famous ones?
Looting.
Oh, it's a Marley song.
No Woman, No Cry?
Yes, I reckon No Woman, No Cry would have been my first one.
Actually, yeah, I've asked this question wrong because I forgot about your age.
Oh, my God.
I forgot you were older. Anyway, I was going to say.
This is a real. Yeah.
This is your one segment.
And a slap.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think this might be it.
Every day when you're walking down the street, everybody that you meet has an original point of view.
Do we know what that is?
I've never heard this.
What?
Nah.
It's Arthur.
Who's Arthur?
Oh, it's the animated show Arthur. Football head.
No, that's Arnold.
Oh, no,
Arnold. Who is Arthur and why do you know Arthur?
Arthur is an animation cartoon.
When you grew up?
The mousy guy.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
From when you grew up?
Yes. I think it came out in like 1996.
I was leaving school at that point. Yeah, Carrie was
a sailing camp.
Carrie, how do you not know the reggae mouse with glasses?
Why is he relevant?
This surprised me because only last week I found out that the composer, the singer, the musician behind that track is Bob Marley's son, Ziggy.
Oh, I know Damien Marley's work, but I don't know Ziggy Marley's work.
Another son.
Another son.
What's he make?
Yes, he's done a lot of songs with hip-hop artists.
Oh, has
he? Yes, and I can name none of them.
Oh.
But he's actually very good. I've just also been told by one of our producers, Arthur is an aardvark.
What's an aardvark?
An aardvark is an animal that comes first in the dictionary.
Oh, does aardvark ever go on to 2x2 when they go on to the
ark?
Yes. Does the aardvark ever go on to the ark?
I think he's busy making reggae tunes.
Oh, is that all you wanted to tell us?
No, I wanted to give you a bit more of a broader picture of why this is cool.
Because you better start.
A lot of friends that I spoke to, they never associate Arthur with. A reggae song.
No, they don't think about Arthur very often.
No,
I reckon.
Aren't you like 30, Sammy?
Yeah, but
why
I was
are you
born
talking
in
to your
the
friends
90s.
About Arthur?
I was born in the 90s. No, because I just found this out, and I was like, "Oh, guys, sick fact." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, now that you actually two and two
sick
together."
Sick fact. Is that what you bring? Is your sick fact?
Hang on. What are the two and two we're putting together? Reggae and Arthur.
Yes. Anyway, okay. I want to put two covers out there too because I've got some more audio to play. It was covered by the Backstreet Boys.
What was covered?
Arthur theme song.
Yeah.
This matters a lot to millennials.
Every day when you're walking down the street, and everybody that you meet has an original point of view.
And then, this
that's
one's the best.
That's the Backstreet Boys. Okay, yeah.
This is Chance the Rapper covering.
Listen to the art, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of the street.
I mean, that's the only one that's been good so far.
Yeah, we haven't got to the bit. Why didn't you play the same bit?
Oh, I got Jez, our audio guy, to chop it up, and I did tell him, Jez, I did tell you to do certain bits, and he pulled rank on me.
Oh, you reckon he's gone rogue?
Yeah.
And not the guy bringing the reggae aardvark.
Oh, man, the other producers out there said this was a good idea, and now I feel like they're just throwing me out of the bus.
You know how the other producers out there usually come in the studio and join you like brothers and sisters in arms? Where are they at the moment?
Actually in the airlock.
Their chairs are spinning around. They're not there anymore.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Friday afternoon and the end of a huge week. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
When we look back upon the week that was, we reflect on the moments that made Carrie and Tommy Wrapped or Raw.
Can I kick us off, guys?
Of course you can.
Usually the rule is start strong, finish strong, but I'm up for breaking them.
Well, I was
trapped.
See, I always
thought that's the rule was different.
Raw.
Like start bad and then just build up.
Yeah, okay, I'm a bit more raw now.
You're meant to do a good old-fashioned shit sandwich.
Oh, an Eddie McGuire, as they call it.
Yes.
A compliment and then a compliment.
That's why often it's me or you that starts and finishes and we chuck old Jess Dog in the middle.
Yeah, well, good luck. What have you got for us, Jesse?
I'm very raw, but the script says I'm wrapped with the lineup we have for the roast of Tommy Little. For anyone who's missed it, Tom Ballard, Dave Thornton, Luke McGregor, Carl Chandler, Adam Gilchrist, the fabulous Jenna Liano, and of course, our roast master, Carrie Bickmore. But one thing we did learn about the fabulous Jenna Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hang on, you've forgotten Lizzie Hu as well.
No, we're not doing all of them.
He was just mentioning some of them.
Sorry, I just thought it was a bit sexist.
You've got the script in front of you
Actually, it was pretty sexist.
It was very sexist.
Oh, no, he's mentioned Gina.
Yeah,
you've mentioned Gina. He's got a soft spot for Gina. Yes. And me. I'm a woman.
What? Damn.
And Gina Liano is the last person we need to worry about getting roasted on the night.
I know you're not, you know, you've got a thick skin. Yeah, you have to be to even do what you do. But are you nervous about that?
No, I just think, you know, if people are going to take the opportunity to reveal themselves about who they are about me, I'll just take notes. Won't forget. Go for it. Yeah. I'll remember. I don't forget.
We have one of your fellow roasters is one of the greatest cricketers this country has ever produced, Adam Gilchrist. Are you a cricket fan by any chance?
No, not at all.
Perfect.
So that would
do you know of Gilly?
I don't even know who he is. I'm going to reveal something about myself. I don't even know who he is, so his opinion of me probably means not much.
Feisty.
Yes, it started already. I am wrapped with the roast, obviously. And after your one-on-one with Michael Bublé this week, because I'm actually...
That made me wrapped.
I'm wrapped awesome. As well with the kind words that he had for you after you doubted your roast hosting abilities.
We are doing the roast of Tommy Little next week, where comedians and Australian cricketers and, you know, famous celebs are all coming together to roast him. He's very roastable. Have you been part of a roast before?
No, I've never been part of a roast.
I think you'd be good at it.
Have you watched any?
Yeah.
I've watched them, and I've cringed at a few. Actually, I just watched one today.
Which one?
Right before I did this interview. Donald Trump.
Oh.
And it was just a TikTok, and it was like, but it was so bad that the secondhand embarrassment just, it murdered me. Like, nobody was laughing. It was completely lame and unfunny, and it wasn't, and the audience was so quiet that I just sat and went, Oh my God. Like,
yes. I mean, I'm hoping I'm stressed because I'm hosting it and I'm not a comedian and it's stressing me to no end because of all the things you just said. So now that you've said that, it's filled me with so much confidence. You know,
it's so funny that you say you're not a comedian, but I feel like you are. You're really funny. Like every time I've ever done anything with you, you're funny. How do you not? You don't consider yourself a comedian at all?
I'm absolutely not a comedian. Oh, he left out the best bit.
Yeah, where he said he loves you.
Yeah, the bit I've told everybody.
Good luck with it. I love you.
See ya, bye.
I love you.
It was like a quick little one where you're not sure whether to tell them or not. I love you. What? Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Well,
I didn't say anything.
It didn't help his confidence when you just said, see ya, bye.
Well, I'm wrapped this week. Not only did I get a love you from Michael Bublé, but also I'm wrapped that any week that you come in after a big weekend, it means you cry on air over the most random things. This week it was a cute dog video you saw on the internet.
I enjoy being a dog. It's the sweetest thing ever.
It's cute, yeah.
It's the sweetest thing ever.
Not ever.
Carrie, like, did you I'm see known that for dog's face?
I probably have cried more tears on TV than anybody else in this country.
How many in dog years?
And that, that didn't even get me to well up.
Yeah, but
it was lovely.
Something's
though.
Happened in you, though. You've died inside.
No, I just. Is it because you've got dogs now? You're imagining putting
dog
your dog down?
That
what are
dog
you doing?
Put its life at risk to save you humans.
Yeah.
And it's really nice for a dog to do. And now he gets to go be a dog. How nice would it be if you just got to go be a dog? I think I want to go be a dog.
You got to be a cop for
cry.
4 years, though.
Can my dogs and cats cry? They can't.
Yeah, they do when
do
a
they?
Human gets retired.
Is that all an act?
What do you mean?
Well, like, it's just all it does is Eli, our web guy, posted it. It's just like, oh, poor Tommy. Oh, Tommy, I love dogs and I love Tommy. Oh, poor Tommy's tearing up. I just think it's all a bit of a play.
That didn't even happen on air. We bought it on air because I was crying off air.
I know, but I just think, you know, it's smart though. Because the internet's very one-sided here. It's very smart. There's a lot of people talking about. Actually, there's some people also thinking you may have ingested something before that segment because your eyes look very red. But all the others are like, oh, poor Tommy.
I just think it was a sweet video.
Yeah, we know
I'm
you did.
I'm sorry you're dead inside, Carrie. You can work on that over the weekend.
See you next week.
Bye.
Not before the roast, though. I'm going to stay dead inside for the roast.
Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.